Right? There's a lot of joy in the room. Super thankful for the joyful fellowship. And coffee does help us to be joyful, too. Okay, this is a special study on faith and joy. Two concepts that come together so beautifully in the book of Philippians. We already said that the context is Paul being in prison, but Paul feels free. And spiritually speaking, he sees himself as a free man in Christ, knowing all would be well no matter what happens to him. And so he has that joyfulness about him all over this letter. There are, we mentioned, at least 16 references to joy in Philippians, and that's more than the 12 other letters combined, more than all of his other 12 letters combined. We also mentioned that Philippians addresses killjoys, things that can kill our joy. Right? People, circumstances, attitudes, complaining, false teaching, lack of motivation, worry, etc. These things can kill our joy. When I look at Paul, I'm more convinced that being joyful has to do with mindset. How you see things. How you perceive things. How you interpret things. Remember how he says in Philippians 3:15, all of us who are mature should have such a view of things. There is a certain perspective which shows spiritual maturity. And so it's not surprising that when he gets to chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And then he proceeds to say, don't be anxious, but, and this is where faith comes in, I believe, in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I really believe this central passage, this key passage in Philippians, combines the aspects of faithfulness and joyfulness in a Christian. Looking deeper, Philippians 1:25 says, "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith." So he says joy in the faith, right? Combining again, joy and faith. The King James Version, which is more literal in its translation, says joy of faith. Another translation, the Amplified Bible, says the joy in believing, which I really like, because sometimes joy in the faith might be confusing, but I think when you say joy in believing, that makes more sense, right? That there is joy in taking faith in God. There is joy in deciding to believe in God, resolving to put your trust in God. There's joy in that exercise. There's joy in that decision. Philippians 2:17 says, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." Here, he mentions not just his faith, but your faith. The faith of the Philippians. So again, somehow, some way he combines the aspects of faithfulness and rejoicing. This time, he rejoices with another person's faith. Okay? So, I believe this. Faith and joy are connected. That's what, something we have to conclude from the book of Philippians. And this is something I encourage you to explore more as you read Philippians on your own. See, God is concerned about our faith because He wants us to be joyful about our lives. Do you notice how in the Bible, how Jesus was concerned about people's faith? Right? He was bothered when people were faithless. He wasn't so bothered about people's joyfulness or happiness level. But he was deeply concerned about their faith. Their faith in God, I believe Jesus knew this, would naturally translate to joyfulness. And so a faithful mindset naturally brings with it more reasons to rejoice. Isn't that how we see faithful people today? Right? We know of Christians in our lives, in our ministries, who have very little reason to rejoice, but they're still rejoicing anyway. I believe that comes with mindset. And then you have other Christians with many reasons for rejoicing, many reasons to be happy or feel good about life, to feel good about themselves, and yet when you look at their faces, you got sour, sad, depressed faces. Even if they have many things going for them. Why is that? I believe a faithful mindset naturally brings with it more reasons to rejoice. So, thinking about this, I believe that it starts with conversion. There is a joy that comes with coming to faith in God. We see this with the Philippian jailer. We know the story. There was an earthquake. They're released from prison. And then it says here in Acts 16, verse 29, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Of course, this was not just accepting Jesus into their heart. By prayer, it says, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house." They had a Bible study. Faith comes from what? Hearing the message. So, this was where they gained faith and really applied their belief. The narrative continues. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. Don't forget the food. Don't ever forget the food, especially when you're in Vietnam. They set a meal before them. You rejoice. And he says here he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. You see that? Again, in the narrative of Acts, and this is Luke writing, he says, the Philippian jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe. He gained faith, and therefore, it made him happy. There was something about that spiritual connection with God that started his joyfulness. It was upon conversion, and that joyfulness can continue on with the Christian life. Peter, when he writes to fairly young Christians, has this to say in his letter. He says in 1 Peter 1, verse 8 to 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." He's not talking to non-Christians, he's talking to Christians and fairly young Christians who are getting persecuted. And he's encouraging them about the joyfulness of being a Christian, right? But he says, he connects it with faith. There's a goal in faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, faith and joy are connected. So here's my conclusion from this short study. A faithful person is also a joyful person. You cannot fake joy. It is hard to fake joy. I've tried it before. It doesn't work. Alright? Man, you cannot fake joy. In fact, it's a fruit, right? It's a spiritual fruit. And I think the most faithful Christians are naturally the most joyful Christians. You don't strive to just be happy, you strive to gain faith. Right? And when you strive to gain faith, joyfulness is a natural outcome.
Right.
Another challenge for us would be, if we're joyful as a person, then those around us can be joyful as well. And we should strive to make every team a faithful team. We have many teams in the church. Your marriage is a team. Your family is a team. Your Bible talk or small group or D group, those are teams. And so let's not just pray for our teams to be happy. Let's strive to make our teams faithful. Pray for the faith level of your group, and the joy level of your group will also follow. The higher the faith, the more joy from a group. So building faith in your group, whatever that group may be, building that faith increases the joy level of your group. I really believe this idea of combining faith with joy has many lessons for us. So let's not just be a faithful ministry, let's not strive to increase the happiness level, but let's be faithful in the Lord.
Amen?
So that's our short study.